Can't you hear me when I call? Big boss man, can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just talk. Waking around the fire, I want a little rain or water. That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just talk.
For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here. And big boss man, I'm sure I won't say all of you, many of you have read the paper this morning and see that the rail is going to be a little more costly than and whatever, you know. And I'm sure all of you out there got the money. And unfortunately, we're disposed of thinking that the mayor, Caldwell, who's leading this train, the conductor, is has big bucks in the bank for his elections. And so what I was going to do, I have no idea what Star Advertiser is going to print, or, but I was going to be talking and sharing with you. Let's look at this mayor and understand that Mayor Kurt Caldwell probably went to school in Europe where he learned smorgasbord economics. And that is, his eyes is bigger than our budget. And you know, when you've gone to remember the days when you may have occasionally visit the smorgasbord and you just pile your plate on and you really didn't like that. You got too much peach cobbler, too much apple pie, too much chicken dressing and dumplings and spaghetti, and you just forgetting you only got so much space in your stomach. Well, I tend to think that this mayor, not to just speak to his dishonest ways, and I'm going to share something with you today. It's about boats, and it's about his behavior, and you can do with this information what you wish, but I really, I'm going to spend an hour just sharing with you to show you how wicked this man is. And while you and I think big, he's looking at the big bucks. This mayor is so petty of an individual. He has no place for public service. None. But it seems to be he's not serving the public anyway, so it wouldn't really be a problem for him. And it hasn't been a problem. Big business is what Mayor Kirk Caldwell is fueled by. And some of you may have some background and familiar with this topic. You see, when the people down at the harbor, the HCDA, they have the now ownership of the Kiwalo Basin. And the Howard Hughes Corporation has somehow gotten its tentacles and controlling that through lease or what have you. And there's the Ward Villages, who was also, and I don't know who's the parent company or who's involved, but I'll get that information later. But I want to just share with you what lengths this mayor will go to, and there's nothing too petty, nothing too big for his strategies and his mindset and his attitude toward the people's need. Absolutely nothing. He stops at nothing. Now, you can call in later on and we can talk about it, 524-1080, and we'll see just what this mayor is about. So let's start with recently, and I show you where you play into this, and you are a key component and a key player, because he can sit there and shovel manure to you, and hopefully he's going to succeed, and something good's going to sprout out of it. For example, he's going to get to elevate himself to governor, because you and I really don't care about what he says, as long as he shows up and with his little smiley face and all the people surrounding him, he has a hold on any information. Lockdown. We talk about the media. This man is controlling. You may not know it because you don't deal with them as we do. So this mayor will go to lengths and lie to you and tell you anything that his big handlers want you to know to further rob you, me, the public, of anything that belongs to us and good management. So some of you may recall back in 2014, and please, if you disagree, then I don't think there's much here to disagree with, but if you want to sound off, help yourself. I'm going to make my statements, and they'll stand, and you can then, you know, make your own, because I think that's what the Caldwell administration survives on. He wants the public to be debating and arguing while he's stealing and hooking and crooking and handing to everybody, and then he shows back up. The man was in the landfill just recently. In the landfill, talking about cutting fees and tipping fees, and we were giving the billion-dollar company too much. And you're going to see what I'm sharing with you today, that he has no problem giving companies that makes $1 billion people's resources. So I was incensed when I saw that. And while he was standing on the landfill, well, first of all, the landfill is basically, there's concerns that it's overfilled now. The height limits are gone. They have a skeleton crew to manage it, the company that manages the landfill. He didn't say any of that. what he needed to do is to take a jab at the city council and others, and elevating himself at our expense. So, in that vein, this mayor, Kurt Caldwell, and I'm going to be polite about it because I really don't even have to say his name when you hear what has transpired here. And this is from an August 28th, 2014 press release issued by the Hawaii Community Development Authority. And at the time, you know, the Honorable Neil Abercrombie was our governor. Now, I kind of stumble in speaking that mixing those two words with that name is kind of difficult, you know. It's the Honorable, and he is the one that led us to the slaughterhouse in a lot of these activities, and especially this one. At the time, Anthony Ching, the executive director of HCDA, the Hawaii Community Development Authority. And this press release goes to say, the HCDA invests in public safety at Kiwalo Basin Harbor. Honolulu, the Hawaii Community Development Authority and Ward Villages today made a major investment in the future Honolulu Emergency Services Department Lifeguard Response Station at Kiwalo Basin. The donation to the city and county of Honolulu will go toward a facility of improvements and equipment to ensure lifeguards and EMS personnel are well equipped to protect and save lives in and around Kaka'ako waterfront areas. Now that sounds brilliant and honorable thing, doesn't it? I mean, you can't argue with that. Why? How could I sit here and take issue with that? But I'm not. Wouldn't dare do that. Be suicidal. But they go on to say, with the expansion of the activities at Kiwalo Basin Harbor, we think enhancing public safety is always a good thing, said Executive Director Tony Ching. Quote, stakeholders have previously voiced their support for an emergency response station at Kiwalo as part of the Kaka'ako Makai conceptual master plan, and we want to ensure that that vision is fulfilled. Once again, can't take an issue with that statement. We all know that safety is first. Can't complain. And I'm not taking issue with that. Ward Villages is dedicated to making Kiwalo Harbor a stronger community amenity, and the donation with the HCDA will help us to ensure the safety of the many recreational users of Kiwalo every day, said Race Randall, Senior Director of Development, Ward Villages. Quote, together, Kiwalo, Ala Moana Beach Park, and Point Panic represent one of the largest and most utilized collection of beach parks in Hawaii. And it is our hope that the new lifeguard facilities will make the use of these spaces more than enjoyable for both local residents and visitors. Aha! For local residents and visitors. Well, keep in mind now, Kiwalo Basin has been there for a while. HCDA has been there for a while. Ward Villages has been there for a while. So why all of a sudden they have a desire to protect the people and the visitors? Why? It's been laying dormant for some while, just ragged and tattered. Could it be that because Howard Hughes Corporation got the lease and now it will have control over the harbor, but to get the harbor, you need to have it written in the contract and all and show that there is protection and safety for the people. But you don't require Howard Hughes or anyone else to hire people and create jobs like they boast about and hire and fund the manpower for manning the lifeguard stations and operating in Kiwalo Basin. Keep listening if you care. Ward Villages donated $18,500 toward the city's planned lifeguard response station at Kiwalo Basin, which will fund the construction of a dock facilities that can hoist rescue jet skis in and out of the water, as well as aluminum dock and gangplank that are required to safely transport patients to an awaiting ambulance. Bravo. Great. Can't complain. Should have been in place a long time ago. People didn't just start drowning and getting in trouble while recreating. We've had a history of them. So the HCDA donated. Now, this is in 2014, this press release. The HCDA donated a rescue boat worth up to $120,000. That's dollars. To the City Ocean Safety and Lifeguard Services Division, which will drastically increase the efficiency of water rescue in Kiwalo Basin and along Kaka'ako shoreline. Wow. How great is that, guys? Maybe we should get 10 boats, have a whole fleet, right? But the question is, why now and not earlier? What, some more important people move into the community that you want to make sure that they and their kids swim safely? Could it be that? So, quote, this type of commitment to public safety at Kiwalo Basin Harbor or HCDA Ward Villages will save lives. We already have world-class watermen and women, and now with this lifeguard response station and a state-of-the-art, folks, you gotta hang on to that statement now. State-of-the-art rescue boat. We are able to provide them with the necessary equipment to protect our public, said Honolulu Emergency Services Director Mark Riggs. This is, he made this statement when he, on his rare occasion to be as director, and where he's actually on island here instead of vacationing and staying on Molokai. We don't know yet, but we're going to be looking at asking some questions, you know, but he made that statement, protecting public safety, he says. So you can't put a price tag on safety, and we want to be sure the lifeguards' new home at Kiwalo Basin is the best and safest it can be for harbor tenants and other Kaka'ako Ocean users, said Ching. So, Chang, so, again, it's for the newcomers. They're going to take this action and then throw in a little bit. Well, you know, we're also concerned about the little kids and the local kids and the local folks, too. We might throw them a rope if it's necessary, if we are inclined to. But we're really looking at the visitors and the big money people, you know, the ones that can afford $1 million for a condo. And that's why we really put that in there, because, see, you 50 cent people who didn't have any money and couldn't buy and barely could pay parking, you didn't need to have your life saved, you see. But now that Howard Hughes is moving folks in and going to build it up and have commercial trade and all of that, it's more important. See, this is why I say this, Mayor. Now, the HCDA owns the land where the future lifeguard response station will be built. The Kiwalo Basin Harbor site will be the city's first emergency response station situated directly on the water. Folks, is that something you brag about or boast about? Again, the Kiwalo Basin Harbor site will be the city's first emergency response station situated directly on the water. That's a no-brainer, folks. The quicker you're able to respond, the more likely you're going to save someone from harm. But this is 2014 now, and we've had this emergency service and the HCDA around for a while. Why now? So, now here's where we get to the fancy feet of the mayor. Quote, this partnership with HCDA provides our skilled lifeguards with quick access to the ocean and faster response time, said Mayor Kirk Caldwell. This boat is the first of its kind on Oahu, taking ocean safety to a new level. It will help lifeguards save lives. I thank HCDA for making this possible and our lifeguards for taking on this valuable responsibility. So, the new lifeguard facility is one of the many improvements to Kiwalo Basin that are scheduled to take place in the upcoming years. It will be operational as soon as practical. As soon as practical. Now, we're talking about emergencies here now. So, stumbling through this, and I'll offer an explanation, you see, they have the strangest way of issuing press releases because the type is bold when they want you to see something where the mayor is bragging or embellished something that they want you to see. It's in bold lettering. But you have to take out your reading glasses to read the content. No lie, and you can see a copy of this at carolcox.com and just see how goofy it is. But it's okay. We'll sort through it. So, let's go back. Now, this mayor says, this is 2014, and the mayor says, this boat is the first of its kind. Well, folks, let me tell you. In 2014, when Mayor Kurt Caldwell stood there and told you that, quote, this boat is the first of its kind on Oahu that has been donated to us by HCDA, is a bald-faced lie. There was no boat there at that time, no boat at all. They just received a boat 2 years later. And they didn't give the boat to them, folks, to be honest with you. The city and county of Honolulu is having to pay lease to park the boat. They're going to lease the boat from HCDA. So HCDA, in their efforts to BS the public, they then said, we're giving, and it's a donation, if you recall, I read in there, this boat, state of the art. This boat is no state of the art because it has no jet propelled propulsion, as so many safe boats are, because you rarely would want to use propellers on a boat if you're using rescue, especially if you're dealing with along the shoreline in Kaka'ako and in the breaks area. You would probably like to have jet skis because they allow shallow draft and all of that. But this is a state of the art. It's nothing but a fishing boat, folks. That's with the gray coloring. It's a Boston Whaler, and I'll get into that. And it was never donated to the state, to the city, never donated, contrary to what the mayor claimed in 2014. Now, he might say, well, I was talking about a boat that's going to come in the future. Well, you didn't say that. You were standing there putting forth and perpetuating a lie. Because you want to get the people accepting as best as you could the Howard Hughes Corporation getting in there through Neil Abercrombie. And this is why when I see Neil Abercrombie speaking out for a Bernie, you know, my heart goes out to Bernie. You know, my heart's burning for Bernie. But I wanted to throw up to see Neil Abercrombie hanging around. We don't need you, Neil. You've spent your time in the way. Don't contaminate. We believe that Bernie might have a chance. But my goodness, maybe don't. I don't know. Seeing Neil, I don't think this population here in Hawaii is going to be running out to vote for Bernie on behalf of Neil. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Pakalolo is being given out at the smoke stands already. I don't know. I really don't know. But let me just tell you, this mayor stood there 2 years ago, practically, August 28th, 2014, and declared that this boat is the best thing ever happened, so to speak. And now let's go back. You remember that state-of-the-art facility rescue center? And then there was one talking about jet skis. Well, if you by chance go to Kewalo Basin, you will see a small aluminum gangplank. And you will also see a little floating dock, maybe, I'd say, 7 feet. I didn't measure it, but there are pictures of it on carolcox.com. And so you'll see that in the office now. You know, this state-of-the-art, modern rescue center. Well, here's what happened. I did some interviews down there and walking and talking, and I learned that it was lifeguards on city time that went in and did the carpentry work. No state of the art. So why would a mayor, especially Mayor Kurt Caldwell, take upon himself to advance such a presentation or present to the public and make a declaration that the public is receiving a benefit. Now, I've spoken to HCDA. I could read to you what they said, but in short form, they told me the boat has not been dedicated to donated to the city, and probably won't. But they will be. They are working frantically, working to come up with a lease so that the city can lease the boat. And then, well, you know, you leased the boat. You got to park it somewhere. Remember the mayor saying we have this quick response and saving lives? Well, where are you going to park it? Well, the state, HCDA, says to me, well, they're going to park it wherever Howard Hughes Foundation or company decide they're going to park it, and then they'll have to work out a rent for the boat to store it, a mooring, with the Howard Hughes. We don't handle that. Wait now. You had a press conference where everybody got to chime in and look good and lie good to tell us 2 years ago that everything was hokey-dokey and it was just so great and it was going to save lives and have a quicker response than Superman. And now all of a sudden it comes out. It didn't come out. I had to dig and scratch because I figure, you know, like they say, how do you tell a politician is lying? Well, if his mouth is moving. Well, how do you tell Caldwell is lying? If he's involved, it's a lie. That's what I've come to learn. There is something more than meets the eye with this guy. You may never want to listen to me again, and you may think that he is the best thing since cotton candy, but I can tell you, you're always going to be stuck with sticky fingers. And let's get back to that boat that hadn't been given to the city, as the mayor claimed. It's not a state of the art. It's nothing more than an overexpensive fishing boat, if that. And then thirdly, it is going to require manpower. So, who is going to man the boat? Quite naturally, lifeguards, you hope. How many lifeguards? Don't know, but you know you hope there's more than one lifeguard aboard the boat to make a rescue. I would say this kind of boat, this kind of activity would lend itself to needing three people. One to drive and steer, because you don't want to have one guy aboard and run into the break to rescue someone, and then he's at the back of the stern pulling in the person and nobody's at the helm. So, common sense. So, two, who's going to throw the rope or who's going to jump in the water? Well, if you got one lifeguard aboard, he got to drop an anchor, and you don't drop anchors in breakwater. Well, you can if you want to have a funny day, but smart people don't do that. So, you would need possibly three people. So, where are they going to come from? Well, now, if you recall, I've talked about it on the show. People die in the morning. They drown early morning before the lifeguards get to their stands at certain areas that they work and guard. And usually some reports of lifeguards of showing up at work, and there's a fire department there already removing or recovering a body. So now there's this move to put in more money, and quite sensibly, to go and man these stations, because why would you have this beach where you know hundreds, if not thousands, of people will come and there within a week or a month, and you know if your station only opens, your lifeguard is only manned at 8 o'clock, but you got people there already in the nighttime, daytime, early morning, and so why wouldn't you? So that brings me my next question. If the mayor was so concerned about safety along the Kaka'ako and the Waikiki and the Ala Moana, why isn't he been pounding the table with the state to say, you know what, there's Fort DeRussy. People get in trouble over there, but you don't have manpower. You don't have coverage. Why don't you contract with us? We want to be safe, like we want to be safe with the rich people at Kiwala Basin, because Howard Hughes is in town now, baby. You see, this man cares nothing about you and I, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I don't mean that to be demeaning in fashion to say this man, but I'm just sharing with you. We have serious problems here, Houston. And to be told, well, he has $1,600,000 and there's nobody going to be able to challenge him. We don't need to challenge him. All we need to open our eyes and vote smart and just say, the hell with you, get away. You're no good for us. We pick up the paper. There's another trick. There's another trick about the train. There's no, you know, that's what we need. And so we have a situation here that we've taken on this boat, but we haven't taken possession. The city and county of Honolulu has not taken possession. It's still owned by HCDA. We will have to pay the mooring fee, but we're going to pay to park a boat to service them, their interests. Can you get that? And then we're going to take manpower from our already strapped and struggling workforce of lifeguards, and we're going to pluck two or three of them out. Maybe the mayor's been so on the idea one is good, but whatever. And then we were told that in that presentation or that press release, oh, and we're going to build a hoist for the jet skis. Wait, what jet skis? You bought a boat, $120,000. You don't have extra jet skis. In fact, there's been a craving for more because they are more efficient. They can produce better working platform than this boat. And you have the Coast Guard and you have the fire department that will respond. And I was talking to guys that work down there around the harbor, and the boat now is stored at Kiwala Basin. Now it finally made it here. And the boat is stored. It's a gray Boston Whaler, and they tell me who they put out a bid for it and what have you. And but the biggest lie is they said in the press release it was donated. It was never donated, and it's still yet to be donated, and probably won't, because it's a state agency using state money, and they can't hop through the hurdles of giving that boat. So who's going to pay for the fuel to run the boat? Who's going to pay for the service to service the boat? So your mayor is busy courting the Howard Hughes Corporation and the Ward Villages. Now, that's not to talk about the rail. This is something different. But your mayor, if you recall, the H-Power, there's a lot of hoo-hoo there, a lot of game playing there, the audit found. And a great many of the people that work for certain companies and contractors at H-Power, if you go and look at the campaign spending commission reports, you'll see that the mayor declares that he's taken lots of money from contractors at H-Power, and H-Power has problems. So we're doing pretty good about right now, guys. We got a guy who went to Smuggish Board University in economics. There cannot be a continued practice in the same way, fashion, that this man is behaving, and we go to bed and wake up thinking we're going to be financially solid the next day. We're doing this to our own selves because we can't say no to a guy who can't say no. So, you want to hear something really sick? So, we got rid of Neil Abercrombie because he had just, you know, I mean, Neil just didn't have it. And we should have known that a long time ago, and I think we did. But, you know, sometimes if you want to see a love affair that just gone bad, look at the Democratic Party. We're so much in love with ourselves and so hating the other party that we'll tolerate anything and anybody. we for years tolerated Neil. Neil didn't deliver anything. And then we then sent him on his way, and voila. We sent him on his way, but this love affair, Caldwell is quick to pick it up. And here's the sad part about this. Through my investigations and asking around, you know, walking and talking down there at Kiwalo, I saw a couple of young ladies talking, and I, you know me, I just wanted to mosey on over there and see what they were, if they were involved. They tell me, oh, yeah, well, we're down here. We're just, we were told, have you heard anything, Mr. Cox, about there was going to be a ribbon-cutting ceremony with the Governor Ige and Mayor Kirk Caldwell and Howard Hughes? No, I'm not familiar with that. Oh, because we were down here. We read an article in another magazine, another paper, and then we start asking questions. Really? So let me get this right. 2 years ago, Neil Abercrombie, through him, Caldwell shows up and tells a big lie that this boat has been donated. It's a state of the art, but it hadn't been purchased. They hadn't, you know, and it's going to be given to the, it was given, I shouldn't say going to be given, it was given to the city and county of Honolulu. And now we find none of that is true. And then Governor David Ige, it's rumored that he will be at this ribbon-cutting contest. Contest. I shouldn't call it a contest. It's not a contest, but dolling for dollars. Just give us a call. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead and your comment, please.
Mr. Carol Cox, excellent in program, and I enjoy you day in and day out, week in and week out. This mayor... I firmly believe that you'll be voted out of office because all the people calls him a disgruntled individual, okay? And look at all the taxes that he's piling up on us day in and day out. And this is the biggest project that is uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bankrupt every individual here in the state of Hawaii. And I don't care how much money he has in his treasure chest, but we are getting him out of office. He's a one term, and he fulfilled Hanneman's remaining term, but he is gone with the wind with Clark Gable.
Well, let's hope so, and 'cause frankly, I do give a damn.
Yes, because you and like the Ames brothers, you, I'm in love with you. This mayor is not, he's an attorney, but he's not a businessman. My father's good friend, Mr. Honghua Ching, says you never trust attorneys, but there's I have a lot of excellent attorney friends, but this guy's really a scam artist.
Mm-hmm.
He has no morals, no principles, and he needs to be clean out of office. And you look at my other friend back in, he graduated from high school in the early, late 70s, and he worked in the legislature. They don't read the bill. Oh, did Rainbow Waterfall sign the bill? They just signed the bill, and they don't read nothing. So this, I feel sorry for every individual here in the state of Hawaii. And the people are very slowly waking up. So this Humpty Dumpty got to be thrown over the pulley. Because he's not a businessman, he's nothing but a shyster crook, okay, Monsieur Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy your program. I support you wholeheartedly. I got all my friends, my union friends, they can't stand him, okay? I'm not speaking about the union leaders. I mean the people that are working under the unions. And the unions are paid off, okay? And I am 79 years old. And I've seen every Humpty Dumpty fall over the wall,
mm-hmm.
back in jail. Yeah. But this mayor is a shyster, really a criminal mind. He has no basic fundamentals in the schooling. Too bad he never go to St. Louis College or either to Punahou schools, because all my friends that went to Punahou and St. Louis College, They all, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I tell you, Monsieur Carol Cox, you are a fine gentleman, and I support you wholeheartedly without any interruption, sir.
All right. Well, thank you. And we need to keep mindful of this, because guys like this guy get put in office by big business. And then we've lost control of that. And the recent reports of everybody's living paycheck, one paycheck to paycheck. And what if we all move? Are we obligated to pay the bond? Who's, or is it the city? Or will we be taxed? And it's not that people can't find jobs. If they found jobs, the city will find a way, and this government, state government, will find a way to take it away through taxes or fees. You follow?
Yes, affirmative. Because I followed you. I met you, and you're such a fine gentleman, and I support you, like I've said over again, wholeheartedly without any interruption.
Alrighty.
The mayor has no audit. He has no simple arithmetic. Thank you very much.
Right, and before you go, I'll give you you follow this. This is my assessment of things and how I approach it, okay? If something is badly broken and you tolerate that, then all of a sudden one morning you wake up with a special interest and then you present it as, oh, this is the thing that's going to save the world and this is what we've needed, but you've excluded and ignored all of the other needs. Now, all of a sudden, you find out now he's out preaching on behalf of this grand need. And you look, just peel back one leaf, one page, and you'll learn that his interest is, when there's special interest, he has a special drive.
Yes, sir.
But when there's just the general public's interest, he has no drive and no desire, because that's not his purpose in life.
Yes, sir. That's not his objective.
His objective
is to bankrupt you, me, like the Ains brothers. You.
If he had any conscience or moral compass, maybe his compass need to be recalibrated. I don't know. But I personally would never, as mayor, I would say, you know, look, I have a house that I don't pay any taxes on. I'm exempted a certain portion of my taxes because I live in a historic house. Things of that nature, and then I'm draining and bleeding the public, and I'm sucking money from donors and, campaign donors. And then I'm beating the public around, chasing the homeless, and it's my responsibility to strike a balance to provide homeless and solutions. And I fail that, but I come out and openly boast how I can beat up on and have thugs running around, people that have been prosecuted for drug dealings and possessions, were leading his crews to beat, and I reported that on the show here, to chase out the homeless. Where's his moral compass? Where's his values?
Yes. You know, this mayor is, I followed him, and I know him very well, but he will call me the shadow, but I watch him very closely, like the Long Ranger, you know, and I have never... And this state is $35 billion deficit, because I have all my classmates who will never, ever return back here in all of those. They live in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. They would never, ever return here. Probably they'll be buried up at the National Pacific Cemetery or up at Nuwano River. But my father was a prominent gentleman, very close friends to Mr. Hong Wah Ching. One of these days, I'm going to give you the article in the Honolulu Magazine several years back in the 80s, and you're going to be very happy to read the article.
Okay, I look forward to that.
All right, Mr. Monsieur Carol Cox, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And God bless you and your family.
Aloha, and thank you, same.
Aloha, sir.
So, let's go back a bit to the... this mayor and the point. Now, there were many questions. I wrote the HCDA. There's a young lady there, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in saying young lady, but a lady was as professional as you can get. She provided me a timely response to my questions, She provided me a copy of the lease and all those informations and a copy of the press release and at HCDA. So it's not speaking to the employees. I can't say anything bad about them. But Tony Ching, he's no longer there. And if he was here sitting across from me, I'd tell him just what I would tell him off air. We can't afford to have people like that in government. We can't afford to have people like Mark Riggs. Now, I wrote, you know, people say, well, you got to be fair and you got to give the other guy a chance to talk. Well, here's the problem. When the other guy looks down his nose at you as if you came in on a Greyhound bus and you don't have no right to be here and this thing we call government is not yours, it's mine and it's ours. So I tend to differ of opinion. And I say, if you don't respect my needs, you don't respect what is rightfully mine, then it's not a matter of do I respect you. I'm going to try my darnest to rip you out of the position that you're in, because if you're squandering the respect for me and you're disrespecting me, then that means you have no respect for any taxpayer or any citizen. So I wrote Mr. Riggs and asked him a number of questions, basically the same questions. Well, you know, you made the statement that it was a state of the art and they were going to build this and you didn't get it built and there was no donation. Where's the boat donated and how much are you paying the lease and rent? He blew me off, wouldn't respond to the questions. So if you're listening, Mr. Riggs, you have a new friend, really, because I think I'm entitled to it just as a natural-born citizen of these United States. Believe it or not, you went to Punahou. I didn't go to Punahou. But if that's what they teach you, that government belongs to those that went to Punahou, then you better go back to school again, because there's a different class that they teach also called civics. And if you're in a position and you think that when we, as a courtesy to you, as a professional courtesy, giving you equal time and you blow me off, my name ain't NBC, it's CC, Carol Cox, and I'm just as demanding and expecting of you to do what's right and be respectful of the public, because if you blow me off, you're blowing everybody off. So this guy speaks to Riggs. I talked to a guy down there at the State Harbors, and says, yeah, you know, I heard that they even bought some scuba gear for the boat. Really? You mean they bought scuba gear for a lifeguard boat? Yeah. Well, let me go back here. The lifeguarding that I'm familiar with is, in my experience, is that lifeguards are rescuing and you still have a chance. They don't have time to don a dive suit and tanks and gloves and get their respirators and all of that right. They're in the water, man. They're looking for you, because they know time is important. So why would you need dive suits? If you're wearing dive suits and you're a lifeguard, you generally are recovering a body, folks. So that brings me to the other point. So you stood there, Mr. Riggs, and you participated in this big lie that a boat was donated, and it was a state-of-the-art, but you hadn't even bought the boat. And the HCDA told me that who was a contractor that put it out to bid, if that was all in the works 2 years ago, it's a long time. So, this thing, sir, and Mayor Caldwell, with this planned ribbon cutting, I notified the governor's office or his advisors or whatever you call them, and just said, you know, I believe that this governor deserved the chance like anybody else, and I believe that he has some great values and potentials to do good. And we're going to see, this will be a small test. Will he join in the perpetuation of this big lie? Or will he say, oh, I didn't know that, and given that you went to this length to talk about this charade about the boat being given to the city, and it's a state agency, and now we're learning that I'm going to call off the ribbon cutting and the lay making and naming the boat and all that, and I'm going to return to the scene of the crime, so to speak, and ask my people to do an investigation as to how much insulation is the public afforded against big business when Kirk Caldwell goes and sell them out, when Neil Abercrombie goes and give away the candy shop. They make millions, and we have to pay them for leasing a boat that they claim they gave us, and it would enhance the safety of the people in the harbor. So that's where we are, folks, and we'll be back in the next hour. We're going to talk to Bridget Hammerquist, Miss Bridget Hammerquist from Kauai on the Hawaii Dairy Farm issue, and then we'll be back and we'll be talking about another Punahou graduate, Suzanne Case. Man, this thing is getting good. You want to see government at work, you need to get yourself a good cold beer, and I would say to you that we don't really have a government, for all intents and purposes. I wouldn't call it a government, honestly. I would call it the club. If you're a member of the club, you got it, baby. If you're just a little guy, you could probably attend the club, but you'll be serving breakfast and lunch and dinner, and you'll be sweeping floors because you just don't fit. They're not out there looking out for you or me. So we'll be back in the next hour. We got a problem with some time here, so we'll be back, and 524-1080 is the number. Join in.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 AM on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. You can also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
Your name is I'll see you. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here in Hawaii. And I have Ms. Bridget Hammerquist on the line, and we're going to get right to her. And I want to, before I do that, and there's another caller, hold on, just so that we'll know, this is a letter from the HCDA, and I had asked them questions. Regarding the questions, yes, the HCDA purchased a rescue boat. No, the HCDA did not donate the boat to the city and county of Honolulu's Emergency Medical Service on the ocean safety. So the mayor just went all out, folks, just to lie to you about a boat. Boat, planes, what will be next? Airplane? We've already got problems with the train. Now we got problems with the boat. Let's hold on. As long as Kirk Caldwell in here, we're going to see a lot. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
I'm good, Carol. How are you?
I'm fine. As you can see, I'm all fed up.
Yes, I can see. I can hear that.
Well, that's okay. This is a relief of regurgitation. All things good. So anyway, what's happening at Kauai and any new developments? I know that you went on and did an inspection of the dairy site, the proposed dairy site. Can you give us some update?
Sure. We did have an inspection team out there for 2 days this past week, and they took samples of soil and water. They studied the hydrology, the flow, observed the valley. We'd had a couple days of rain before, so they had a good opportunity to see the pooling and ponding that occurs there because of the clay soil. And as you know, Carol, that's one of our biggest concerns. It doesn't drain. The property doesn't drain well. Water sits on it, and they have the added difficulty of when they have over 100,000 pounds of waste per day with the startup herd and 300,000 pounds of waste per day with a full herd of 2,000 that they want to go to. Mm-hmm. That manure, which they describe as liquid manure, they say, from cows, dairy cows, it's more liquid, it's going to sit on the surface, and we have a freshwater stream in the area, two of them, the Waiopili and the Waialao, and they both drain to the ocean. So this will be a freight train ride because those streams go right through the proposed dairy farm property to the ocean. And our reef at Mahalapu has been described by local marine biologists who actually one of them got their PhD in Hawaiian corals. And apparently Mahalapu is one of the few areas on the island with a thriving, growing, beautiful reef. In fact, when we met recently with the Department of Agriculture Chair, Scott Enright, one of the marine biologists presented him with a picture of a beautiful coral head that was the size of a Prius and a car, the size of a car. So that's what's threatened by the proposed dairy farm, and the issue is runoff, and run off into the waters of the U.S., and contamination of our drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
We have three county wells right adjacent to the proposed farm site, and our hydrogeologist advises us there won't be any way to keep the groundwater from being impacted mm-hmm. with the heavy nitrates that the manure carries. So that's what we're about, and we're saying it's not a good location. This last week we had two articles in the Garden Island. The Garden Island featured one was the Department of Health study. It was interesting. They came out and said, it looks like that outrageously high bacteria count you have down there, over 15,000 Enterococcus bacteria and 3 ounces of water. That was our reading in March. They said, it looks like that's all due to feral pigs, ducks, geese, etc. So we don't need to post that stream or beach area where we're getting those numbers because it's from feral animals. Hard to understand because the EPA has determined that animal waste, even 35 parts 35 bacteria colonies in 100 milliliters, especially if it comes from a dairy cow. They said it'll make you just as sick as if it's human-treated sludge, 35 bacteria colonies per 100 mil. So it's not too comforting to know that we have a lot more than the 35 per 100 mil. We actually have over 15,000, and our average after 2 years of testing at that site is 8,000
mm-hmm.
per 100 milliliters, 8,000 bacteria colonies. And to give some perspective, Carol, the other, we have two other rivers on island that tend to be chronically polluted, and their numbers are in the hundreds. They go up to barely over 1,000 when we have a heavy rain. They don't go anywhere near the 15,000. The state, when they tested, got numbers of 17,000 and 28,000 bacteria counts there. So it's there's no question it's heavily polluted with Enterococcus. And when the state released their report saying, you know, essentially it's just animals, folks, no worries, it was interesting to me to read in their report that they said they saw no evidence that anybody was using the Waiopili stream, that there were any swimmers or recreational activities there. And I was really surprised at that finding in the report, because I personally attended a meeting with the director of the Department of Health, where she was handed a stack of pictures of children sitting and playing in the stream, and those pictures had been collected over time. We also submitted video footage to the state and showed them people playing in it. So how do they form an opinion that there's no evidence that the stream is used for recreational purposes? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly fits their mantra that we don't need to worry about this, folks, because they couldn't in good conscience, if they recognize the stream's use, they couldn't say there's no problem. They mm-hmm. just couldn't, because the EPA has said if you have more than 35 parts per 100 on a regular basis, this is a contaminated body of water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's our point is, okay, it's in there. It's been in there for over 2 years. We know it's there. We don't know what the cause is, but the state has tested it up and down the stream. We've tested it. Our experts have tested it. And for whatever is doing it, and it's hard to believe it's just the feral animal population, the state did suggest in the recent test, which I thought was interesting, that there's a karst, what they call a karst lava tube formation that connects some of the areas of Poipu and Kaloa that are still on cesspool and injection well, and it says that they connect all the way over to the Waiopili
mm-hmm.
via lava tube. And so maybe that's the cause. But, you know, we've got so many rivers on island and so many natural areas like Kalihiwai with lots of flora and fauna, and there's no pollution like this, like they find in the Waiopili. So there's something different going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
They did say it could be from sediment disturbance, and we know that the proposed dairy farm has been grubbing and grading without a national pollution NPDES permit.
But bulldozers and caterpillars don't generate in Enterococcus.
No, they don't.
They
but
don't give off bacteria.
If it's
so
in
when
the soil,
yeah,
and the soil has been moist, and the clay soil apparently can hold bacteria and even allow it to germinate for a long time. So that if you have natural feral population in the area and you have that unique clay soil there,
mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that is what's happened over time, is it's built up this huge breeding ground, a cesspool, if you will.
Right, but my question is a real simple one. Was the dairy farm permitted to do any dredging, digging on the permits?
Say that one more time, because I didn't get your question. I'm sorry.
Did the dairy farm have any permits to dig, dredge that may have disturbed this, and was it permitted?
No, they applied twice to the state for a general stormwater construction permit.
So
both times they stopped the application process and never completed it.
So listen to what I'm asking you. So if the state is saying it's possible that it was disturbance of the soil, well, they didn't have permits to do the disturbance. Did the state?
No. And we have a lawsuit in federal court. The citizens of this community got together on our own nickel, which is, you know, pretty sad that we had to do it, but we did.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together on our own nickel and filed what's called a Clean Water Act case federal court, and we're not right now in front of a federal district judge.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Kobayashi.
So I asked that question because trying to convey to the public what you folks are having to go through, even myself and when I'm dealing with the state health department. On one hand, you show the right hand, then they show you the left hand, and it's always the bait and switch similar. But here, if they're suggesting that it may be animals, and it could be, I don't know if that was your hypothesis, that it may be from sediments that have been sitting in place and now they're being disturbed due to construction.
The state suggested that in the report.
Right. Well, then the state should be taking legal actions as to say that you didn't have a permit. Though you applied, you didn't have a permit for this activity, so therefore we're going to hold you accountable. But that's what seemed problematic in this case and many others, the state just not really standing up and enforcing the law or regulating.
No, and I talked to a gentleman yesterday from Oregon who is a nationally recognized, what they call, home rule or public activism to keep, where people keep their own community safe and take on the responsibility and recognize that government doesn't always do it for us. And he said, you know, historically, our big agencies have been created to permit, to allow activity. And so they're not in the business of disallowing. They're not in the business of discouraging. They figure out how to allow the activity, even to the point when it's harmful.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, it falls to us. It shouldn't be that way. I think really we see our state government as someone that's going to protect us. But apparently that's not very realistic.
Well,
your
friend that drew that conclusion, initially the agencies were put in place to regulate, and that's why they have all of the regulations and permitting and all, so that you can gauge the impact and review. So it's just that things have gotten so corrupted and influenced by big business or money or in special interest. That's what the problem is, because the state health department should be able to draw conclusions. If you got high levels, then, for example, they don't want to post the signs to warn the public that it's contaminated. So
to the conclusion the public's not using it.
Right.
They came to that conclusion, even though they have videotape footage of it. Watson Okubo of their department was out there and saw people at the beach in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we presented them with a stack, Carol, of 4x6 photos with children and moms and babies. And, you know, because we thought, okay, they're on Oahu. They don't know what's happening on Kauai.
I stood there at the mouth of the stream and saw at least 8 people that I photographed and couples sitting there being romantic. Oh, what a...
Right. Well,
the stream
hits the beach, there's a nice little warm pool that forms, and it's, you know, the sand is real soft there, and there's this warm, fresh water. And I know, because my own children used to sit in it and play in it. It's fun.
Yeah, so they didn't take any action against them for doing work, construction work, or dredging, or whatever it is, the health department didn't. And they know they put in a permit, so they had knowledge that they knew they needed a permit.
And then they withdrew. There's at least a recognition that it might be a good idea.
Well, no, I mean, but looking at law now, I mean, a knowing violation. They knew they put in for an application, knowing that you need an application to authorize this. You didn't get an application, so therefore you shouldn't be doing this work. So therefore, the state health department had cause to go in and take legal action, and it didn't. They don't want to post a sign. They don't want to do anything. It's a struggle from every aspect of this public effort on your part.
It is, Carol. And the only thing I know we can do is keep bringing it to the attention of the public and let them know what's happening. I mean, they've been kind of quiet here for a while in Kauai, and we have a lot of residents that think that maybe they've changed their mind, that they don't want to go forward. But it was quite clear from their spokesperson's comments this last week, Amy Hennessy. She was actually thrilled that the 15,000 count march is being attributed just to feral animals.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's that polluted and it pours down into the Pacific Ocean right on the Poipu Beach coastline, what does she think is going to happen when they add 699 pregnant cows and all their waste
mm-hmm.
to that current waste load?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't be good.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know, you know, how many hundreds of thousands of bacteria colonies they want to produce, but it's not going to be good for our health.
What can the public on this island and other islands do to join in?
Well, they should join in, because mm-hmm. I will tell you that Pierre and Pam Omidyar refer to this as their test dairy.
Mm-hmm.
They want to bring 10,000 cows to Hawaii. They say they want to make Hawaii milk independent. The problem is they want to do it with the least amount of acreage. They want to condense the herds. They say they want to graze them in mobs of 115 on 6 3- to 5-acre parcels in the initial phase. Then they want to graze them in mobs of 300 to 330 on the same 6 parcels as their ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the most dense. I mean, if you can picture... Just picture a half-acre parcel in your head and put 40 cows on it. That's the density that they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's...
That's amazing. And the State Health Department, Virginia Pressler, I understand you met with her the other day, about a week ago, I say, maybe a week and a half or something.
18th of March.
Yeah, and how did that go? Did you leave there with any answers, or did they keep the mouth zipped and just listen to you?
No, originally they didn't even want to meet. Well, they agreed to meet with us and then canceled the meeting. And then I had to actually talk to a state attorney general, because we're not suing the state.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in a legal confrontation with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I said we should be able to go and talk to our department heads. And the AG agreed, and so he assisted in getting the meeting restored. We went, we sat and met, and both Dr. Pressler and Dr. Kawaoka, her deputy, made it clear at the beginning of the meeting that they were there to receive whatever information we cared to share with them, but that they would not be sharing any information with us or giving us any feedback or answering any questions.
So it
didn't feel right at all.
Well, I'm chuckling because you folks take your own hard-earned money and then get on a plane early morning to come over here to make a presentation, and they tell you they're not going to answer any questions or give any statement. They'll just listen to you. They could have taken that in the video, save you the money.
I know.
It's disheartening, folks, if you're listening out there. This is your government at work when you as citizens, we as citizens, have to go and fight something that... Things should be in place. The Friends of Maha Ulepu should be able to walk in or go on the internet, pull up the documents, and all things that the state or city shouldn't be taking sides or delaying or anything. The law is the law. They have an army of attorney generals to advise them. So you would think they would, of all people, they would be abreast of everything. But it seems there's this built-in delay.
Well, it's almost like they want to put us in a position of having to sue them, and we don't want to sue them. We don't want to sue our state government. We just want our state government to do what our laws, our
mm-hmm.
state statutes, our ordinances, our Constitution especially calls for, and that's to protect the resources, the environmental resources of the state.
Oh, yes.
And this is a beautiful valley, one of the few areas on islands that's not developed. It's a gorgeous coastline, absolutely gorgeous coastline, Carol. You've seen it. And, you know, it's worthy of preservation. It's a historic site. It's where Kamehameha was defeated. We're the one island that he didn't conquer. There's heiaus in there. People can go on their computer and dial into cavereserve.org. and they'll see one of the most active archaeologic digs in the state right now. One of our reporters coined the phrase, it's a window back in time, because they have found so much in there that tells them about the pre-contact society that lived in the valley, the earliest Hawaiians. They're finding artifacts. The artifacts have been preserved by that clay soil. And so, you know, there's a lot of reasons to protect that valley, historically, culturally, archaeologically. It's not just a lump of clay. It's a beautifully molded valley that happens to have a clay soil, clay floor. And, you know, it's unique. It deserves preservation.
Well, how do people go to find you and your organization and your effort, your fight?
If we can use all the help we can get, Carol, seriously. Mm-hmm. If they would go on to Friends of Mahaulepu, and that's MAHAULEPU, friendsofmahaulepu.org, they'll see great pictures that show them the coastline, that show them what we're trying to protect. It won't show them our three large county wells because they're underground, but that provides us our sole source of drinking water for this whole coastline. All the people, there's 300,000 people, they estimate, 330,000 people a year visit this community and stay in the resorts and the hotels and the timeshares and the vacation rentals. A lot of people own property here that they vacation rent part of or all of. It is a coastal community, but it's kind of, you know, laid-back, wonderful community, clean fresh air, clean water. Poipu Beach regularly gets like a 3-star or 4-star rating for the clarity of its water nationally and internationally. It's been recognized as one of the most beautiful beaches in the world. And these cows are intended to be about 2 miles from that beach and just up the coast. So it's really a place worth preserving. So if they can help us, we'd so appreciate it. Our little community here with its, you know, citizens that have joined friendsofmahaulepu.org, we probably have 400 or 500 friends now that have signed up online, and we just love to have their support and their help. It's keeping Hawaii the way Hawaii was. You know, that's what we want. We just don't want Big Ag to come in here with an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2,000 cows dump their crop, excuse the expression, and then send the milk to elsewhere. They're not going to process it on this island. They're not going to pasteurize it here. They're not going to bottle it here. And the state told us they're applying for international milking standards. And we said, why international? They said, well, they want to be able to sell it to the military, overseas, cruise ships. Great. At our expense, right?
Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and we'll do it again. And we're working on the videos of the meetings, and we'll be posting those up at on Olelo and also at Kauai. And we'll send you the links, and so that people can go to friendsofmahaulepu.org, right?
Right. Thank you, Carol, for all you do.
Thank
for
you.
Communities like ours. Okay?
All righty. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bridget.
Mahalo.
Aloha. Caller, you're there. Thanks for waiting. You got a comment or question?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Potts. This is Don from the Kehi Lagoon.
Yeah, Don. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I got an alert from the Alley Cats deal that the DLNR and the Fish and Wildlife Service are planning to merge together and put out poison for these cats.
Mm-hmm. For cats, and is that the proposal, the comment period on poisoning of rats? Is it diphenone?
Well, that's what they're using, the rats and mongoose, but really it's for the cats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you remember or not, but Steve Thompson used to be the head of DLNR, And he had a thing about the ducks. We used to have ducks in this harbor. And he set out poisoned all them ducks.
Steve Thompson and, was over at Hawaii Kai, wasn't he?
He was the head of DLNR boating there.
Okay,
Had so many lawsuits and everything, they transferred him to Parks and Recreation. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're doing the same thing here. And I don't know whether you know Gail or not. She's tends the cats just a little next door to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had four cats poisoned right now. So mm-hmm. I think they're doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they don't have full permission, but they're doing it.
You know, there's what you're talking about is the, I've been getting a number of solicitations to sign on and send a letter in for testimony. About the dispersion of diphasinone or whatever the bait, the poison. And there's a concern that I have. The state is and the Fish and Wildlife Service, all of them are familiar with the impacts and the potential non-targeted species that can be impacted. For example, if some of the older folks out there may recall back in the 90s, it was quite common to find a barn owl or an owl, a bird of prey, that was bleeding at the nasal and just sitting alongside the road or on the path or in the trail that was just out of it. And because it was an anticoagulant, a warfarin or something of that nature. So they know that there's great potentials for non-targeted species.
Yes, they do, but they don't care.
And I, in this state, I mean, I would normally say, yeah, I'm for controlling the species, but I just, these are the same people with the same mindset and the same interest in protecting that brought us the mongoose, the cattle egrets. You understand?
I do.
And then God only knows what other species, and they, where they should be putting a front and fighting for the protection of alien native species, they drag their asses and they're political about it and they don't speak against certain companies. The importation of Christmas trees should be abolished. Certain ag practices, certain plants, the frog, for example, you know, the do-gooders, and I'm for protecting. I hate the thought that another species goes extinct. But propping them up to go out and say that we're going to spread poison everywhere and then just simply say that that's going to fix it. You know, barn owls eat the birds of water birds, for example, the boobies. They'll eat boobies. They've been known to attack, you know, at the small atolls. So it's not... not good, in my opinion, to say that these people that we should trust, they can't say no to big business and no to developers, but they can come up with a grand scheme when it comes to dealing with the little guy and saying that the frightening thing is in the closet, we got to be careful. If they were to take, for example, this fire, that there's one tree, the ma'u, that the hibiscus up there, the native one, or the whatever it was, and it was sad to see the lady crying, but she should have been crying a long time ago and should have been propagating that species rather than leaving one sitting up there. And you don't hear them talking about who started the fire, do you?
No.
Yeah, when in fact that day before there was an arcing of a wire at a HECO. Now I'm still trying to ask questions. Where did the fire start? If that's the case, then we need to take legal action against HECO if they are responsible, or if it's found that their wires are the ones that arced and shorted out, or whoever it is should be accountable and paying monies into an enhancement fund or something. So on the other subject of with your cats there, now, Underwood is... basically harassing you and have attached your boat mooring, right?
Yes.
To, if you don't stop feeding the cats there at the harbor, you're going to be evicted.
That's true. Yeah,
he'll cancel you. But that draws me back to this point. When the 48,000 gallons of fuel oil leaks, jet fuel oil leaks from the tanks right there behind his office, he didn't say a damn thing. Had one comment. Had a junkyard that even Fred Sanford would laugh at. All thrown out, and then it has contaminated the groundwater. Do you see him saying, I'm going to evict you and kick you off of this land? But you understand. So
yes, I do. I understand that very much.
When his employees are stealing and ripping the system off, does he complain? When he's out there tolerating and turning his back, a blind eye to fraud within the boating and leasing and what have you, does he want to go and take an action to have them evicted? No.
Yeah.
He comes up with a sort of a sentence or whatever you call it that he orchestrates. And this is, so the public out there knows, alien species conflict with native species. Nobody can argue that. But Suzanne Case has gotten in office, and there was this declaration you saw in the paper, the bill. I understand that Mike Gabbard has chimed in, and he's saying, well, you guys should just go along and stop feeding the cats and what have you.
That's right. He folded like a wet blanket, that guy. You know, he was supporting us there for a while, and then all of a sudden he went with the establishment.
Now, this is a spiritual-minded man, I'm told. And then how could you say stop feeding cats when people are releasing cats? And you know, let's make some legislation prohibiting and taking a strong act on those that release cats into the wild.
Well, people has got investments in these cats. We've been trapping and neutering and feeding these cats for years. And all of a sudden we have no say about anything and just stop feeding them, let them die.
Well, you owe that to Suzanne Case and Governor David Ige. I got mixed emotions here because on one hand, you know, you want him to succeed because we benefit from a successful administrator. But here's what I've learned in the Ige administration. All of his appointees are acting on their own, and they're bullies. Many of them are bullies. And they get to do, and the problem I have with Ige's administration is that you have no way of contacting his administration and speaking to a high authority. You have to deal with the Underwoods, who's underhanded with the cases, who is a case of mistaken identity. She thinks that part of this is her Nature Conservancy role, and then you look at some of the involvement. There's Sam Gong. He's involved. He's a Nature Conservancy fellow member or employee. But these things, I have concerns with the way the Ige administration is kind of like a laissez-faire, hands-off. My administrators, no matter how screwed up they are, they're going to take care of it. And the Attorney General is being used by these bullies. We ask for documents on certain matters, and we're automatically come to expect there's a built-in. Well, we can't give it to you right now because we referred it to the Attorney General. But you only get to know that when you contact them after they're delinquent in responding to you as they're required by law.
I understand that one.
So we put together a letter to the governor and asking him to speak to Mr. Underwood and work with the cat caretakers and whatever, because I know for a fact that if you took every cat off Sand Island and every cat off Kahee Lagoon, given the current practices and the tolerance for people abandoning their cats and dumping litters, it'll be back the same the next day. So the government should work with the people rather than demonizing yourself and others, you know?
It's exactly the truth, what you just said. They will replenish.
Yeah.
They have no place to go, you know?
Well, and they are found originally at someone's home. It's someone's pet. But then,
it used to be,
and then people go down and dump them. If the listeners could only see how many people dump cats. You can go down tomorrow morning and you're likely to see a new litter of kittens in a box.
Yeah, that's true.
And where is the humane side of that? Where is the Suzanne Case? And why does she take on those people, take on those legal issues? But no, she is going to save the world by hiring a contract trapper, killer, and fix the problem? No, it's going to be a cycle of a death cycle where we're going to be spending the money and you'll never get rid of the cats.
No.
So, okay, well, did you get a copy of that letter we sent out?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yes,
I did. Let's spread it wide and far and wide.
Thank you very much.
Hey, John, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Ciao.
Aloha.
Bye.
I'm going to take a break for a minute here. Be right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you shortly. Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day here, and hey, guys, the front line. Where is the front line? At your mailbox, believe it or not. That's where they're taking you on there. Taxes, fees, when you go to register your car, the more weight. And what are you getting? More weight, right? So I want to share with you another matter. This is on showing you how government and I pride myself in digging and scratching and looking, and because you just don't know what it's like to go to a government office and thinking that this one is simple. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a free citizen. I've paid my dues. I'm entitled to a decent reception by my government. And my interests should be treated equally, as equal to the bigger companies or the little person there with the shopping cart. Everybody, this is America. So when you go in and you expect to be treated, but in this administration, like we saw in Abercrombie, and we see, and this is where I'm a Democrat by dictation. They when I was born, they said, "Okay, welcome to Mississippi, boy," and then you know, and I, what is politics? Oh, don't worry about that either, boy, because you're going to be a Democrat. Really? And then, okay, well, I hear a lot of people talking about Jesus and the Christ and the Lord and going to heaven. Oh, don't worry about that either. You're going to be a Baptist. So certain things are already laid out for me. But what they didn't guarantee me, they said, well, there's the Constitution, too, and you know, it's for you. And I believe in that stuff, man, believe it or not. So I believe that when I walk in the door of a government agency or I call or I write a letter, I should be treated like I'm a king or the owner of this place. So should you, because it's our government. We do own it. Well, this appointment of Suzanne Case, there is more bad behavior in that than the other Carlton Chang could ever have presented, I believe. And it's all in the guise in the name of conservation and environmental protection. And it's unfettered and it's unregulated and it's unmanaged. She's on her own. I don't believe that the governor has one conversation to tell her, people first, you're second. You serve my purpose in making sure that the public gets treated and their needs are attended to. So I wrote a letter. This is a matter, on Kauai. And real quickly, just to show you a little bit of things. You've heard me talk about Aaron Zunray, who supposedly was working for the state health of state DLNR as a planner or whatever. And we had questions. How did she get in here? And how did she get to work? Is she an employee? So I wrote the questions here. What community-based subsistence fishing area post-designation procedure does your agency have in place, and what more do you intend to put in place? The post-designation process is being developed now to outline how communities requesting CBSF designation and DLNR will monitor an area that community has requested for designation. So I wanted to know, well, where are the funds coming from? We already know, we had heard that the funds were being donated by a nonprofit organization to do government business, and then the government allowed this nonprofit to come in and work in their office without authority and what have you, and approval. So I want, here's my questions back to them and my answer. What time commitment will be required for the existing staff of this effort? What is the estimated cost each designation from DLNRs? So I ask questions Case don't want to answer and provide those specifics. I ask her to, Case, please provide a description of the first phase and what has been accomplished. The first phase was in the writing of the community guidebook that outlined standard procedures and entitled community-based subsistence fishing area designation procedures. I'm talking about this because we always hear, well, we want to take care of the Hawaiian interests. We want to stay Pono. We want to give the Hawaiian subsistence. But you're going to get it by denying them and then hook and crook by allowing nonprofit organizations to house themselves and get in the business of state government? Doesn't make sense. What agency or organization does Ms. Erin Zunray and Mr. Kalikea Shaler work for? These are the people that are involved deeply with this program on Kauai. Mrs. Unre is employed by the University of Hawaii, Hilo, and Mr. Shaler is employed by the National Coral Reef Institute at Nova Southeastern University. Now, usually things go through RCUH. So we're uncovering quite a bit of things here that just say that why are these people, nonprofits, to have such a intimate relationship with state matters? They're not just on the sideline cheering the state on. They're inside dictating what goes on and being protected by Case, whose background is nonprofit Nature Conservancy. So I have these thoughts. If this is their answer that they wrote me back, and if Ms. Unry and are employed by UH and Hilo, and also a Florida private public university, why are they allowed to portray themselves to the public as being employed by DAR? And they've done that, I'm told. This is what caused me to write this letter, that there were allegations that they were representing themselves as state employees. You just heard they are not state employees. Why are they housed at DAR? Why are nonprofit organizations sitting in the office of the Department of Aquatic Resources? Why are they allowed to drive state vehicles if they are not employed or employees, as these vehicles specifically state that they are for official use only? This is the kind of things that Suzanne Case tolerates and encourages, and then when I write her to ask questions, she don't get back to me. Then these questions, now mind you, once again, she had to consult the Attorney General before she could answer my questions, but did she consult the Attorney General to allow this relationship to develop, to allow these people to work in the offices? These nonprofit organizations, you would think that would have been presented to the Attorney General as well to make sure that it was legal. So if that was the case, then all I would have to do is make the request. She can say, well, the Attorney General approved it. So there is this something unique about IGE. And another thing, we just filed another request for other information, and they said on it for, we wanted P cards on a certain employee. So all they had to do was write us back and say, what specific time frame? They didn't do that. They waited till about 2-3 weeks and then write back and go, what specific time frame? So this Suzanne Case, she's a month ahead of the general public in these matters. If it's consistent, she's consistently doing this and practicing this. So in other words, she gets to play into the future, so to speak, and you get to play in the past, and she gets to serve you up some lame answers and with delay and denial. And this is, I believe, is going to be the failure for David Ige. And as you heard Ms. Hammerquist talked about going to a meeting with Virginia Pressler, and they didn't want to meet, they canceled it, then they rescheduled it, and they met, and then the state didn't want to talk and answer any questions. Mr. Ige, if you're listening, if your staff is listening, get it right, my friend, because people are not that forgiving. They're not as gullible as you might think. You might think that they'll tolerate newness and you're getting your training wheels fixed. Just ask yourself, who is Neil Abercrombie, if you have aspirations? But if you're just a one-timer, then I'd say you're doing good. You're fitting that mold, and you're following the trend, and go ahead. I wouldn't be bothered with it. But we asked them questions. There's so many of them, and I'm going to go back, and not today. I'm not going to post these questions today, but I will post them, and we're going to try and expose a lot of this as time goes on. And I don't expect Mr. Back to the Cities matter. I don't believe that Mr. Rigg will bother to respond to my questions. But if he does, I'll share them with you. But just know that whatever answers I find out there, I've given you the opportunity to speak to that, Mr. Rigg. And if you don't want to, I'll go with what I know and what I have. And c'est la vie. It's just the way it is. And I think that we'll be asking some bigger questions as to, you know, and before I close, there's going to be this thing where Miss the city councilman, Pine, is asking for, there's a bill to put forward and give more funding so the lifeguards can be funded and what have you for earlier hours and longer hours to address the critical need for lifeguards in the early mornings and late afternoons. The mayor is going to kill that because there is this concern. The mayor does not want any money going anywhere because of the rail. We have a shortfall, and he is not going to authorize it. If he does, I'd be shocked. And then I was out at Electric Beach out at Kahi Power Plant, and there's a young lady there watering the plants, I said, well, what about that area over there? Well, we only have two sprinklers, and my boss won't give us another one, saying we can't afford to buy another sprinkler. And these sprinklers are $100. And this is an area where most people come and dive, and a lot of people recreate, snorkeling. And so this is what Carlisle is doing. When the bigger people, big money with big pockets, want something, he takes care of them. When you want something, he kick you down the hill. So we'll see you next week. And just know you got a chance to send him a strong message when it comes to election. Don't worry about the $1.6 million. I can give you two reasons you shouldn't vote for him. So, and I've tried to share you, and we'll follow up. Take care.
Has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.